It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. That's where you get first look at all of the upcoming guests for the next week, our most recent podcasts, Sounding Off with Kim Monson, as well as our most recent op-eds. Then all of that can be found on the website at KimMonson.com. Go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We would greatly appreciate that. It is Thursday, and lots happening. I mean, it's like fasten your seatbelts from now until election time. I was I saw a number of women yesterday, and one of the comments that they said as trying to engage people in what is going on here in America. And one of the gals had a great line. She said, you know, you never know quite where people are on the political spectrum, but she was at a market and the young girl behind the counter had a mask on and she pulled her mask down to take a sip of water. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. And my friend said, well, you know, this is all going to be over on November 4th. And she looked at her and she goes, yeah, I think that you're right. And so that was her comment to engage people. This is all going to be over on November 4th. Of course, if Donald Trump wins the election, you know, it's going to be really, really interesting. That is why these elections are so important. And that is why it is so important that Republicans keep the Senate. Because if, in fact, the Democrats take the Senate and if they would keep the House, then it would be 4 years of nonstop rigmarole regarding impeachment.
Gridlock on steroids.
Yeah, well, they would impeach him.
No, that's
what
true.
They would do.
Yes, yes.
They would impeach him. So that is why these Senate races are really, really important. We're going to go through some headlines this first segment. We'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio in the second segment regarding flu vaccines, their effectiveness. She has this great 10-point plan to fix health care. Jason McBride, after we had John Caldera on, he went and actually put together a comparison from 2017 to 2019 of what your federal taxes would look like and what your state taxes would look like, because working to try to explain how Colorado received a revenue bump with the Trump tax cuts. And so he went through all that, and we'll talk about that at the bottom of the hour. Dennis Gallagher is a former Colorado State Senator. He was also on the Denver City Council and the Denver Auditor. And there is the Gallagher Amendment that was put into the Constitution by the people of Colorado many years ago. And it was intended to keep residential property taxes low. And it has actually done that. It's going to be on the ballot this year to repeal it. The intersection of the Gallagher Amendment and Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, what it has done is it actually has squeezed commercial properties. So we're going to go through that because I think there's a better way than a repeal of the Gallagher Amendment. This is very kind of roughshod that was put together. So, but let's talk to Dennis Gallagher and we'll see what we find out about that. The I'm a Trumpster bus, we're going to be having a big announcement, so stay tuned. It's actually going to be delayed just a little bit. All these things are taking a little bit of time, but I'm going to have Reggie and Johnny on tomorrow to talk about that. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And what has happened is fear has been used to really, you know, push through bigger and bigger government. And we need to really keep a check on that. Our founders realized that you have a choice. You have the choice of big government and small people, or big people with lots of opportunity and lots of freedom and a smaller government. And so it is a time for choosing. Our quote for today is from Francis Bacon. He was the first Viscount of St. Alban, also known as Lord Verulam. Gerwurlaum. I've practiced that even, Steve. I was going to try to get that out there. He was an English philosopher and statesman who served as Attorney General and as Lord Chancellor of England. His works are credited with developing the scientific method and remained influential through the scientific revolution. He was born in 1561. He died in 1626. And I think this is so apropos for us, for some hope here. And he said, in order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. That's a great segue into our sound bites, don't you think, Steve?
Well, you know, you're a gutsy person. I'd say I'd much rather you have quotes from people's name, meaty quotes, applicable quotes from people you can't, whose name you can't pronounce versus, you know, John Jones, and he's, you know, and he says something really stupid.
Okay, so. Verulon.
Okay.
Okay. Well, never mind. Look. So, you know, we always talk on the phone when I'm driving in. And you said, now more than ever, these quotes or these questions that we have from Rudyard Kipling, who wrote The Jungle Book. And he says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. This is the bedrock of critical thinking. So with that, shall we jump in here, Steve, with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's presser yesterday?
Yeah, they had their first public meeting as man and wife. The way it was played out, it looked like it. And, you know, the distance from my garage to the street is 55 feet. And it only took me that far as I was rolling down the driveway to get totally insanely angry as I was listening to USA Radio News play these sound bites that you're about to hear. What you just said, why we keep quoting the Rudyard Kipling?
Yes.
Why we keep banging that on that is because of what you're about to hear. The fact that these guys, Harris and Biden, can make these statements and there's going to be people out there going, oh, really? I didn't know that. And you'd have to be living under a rock to buy into any of this. So let me get the board set up here. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's Joe Biden.
Okay.
Working families need someone on their side in this nation because they certainly don't have anyone in the president now on their side. That's going to change in a Biden-Harris administration. It's going to be gratifying to see the strong, enthusiastic reaction to Senator Harris as our next vice president. We have an economic crisis with more than 16 million Americans, 16 million still out of work. Donald Trump is on track to break another record, on track to leave office with the worst jobs record of any American president in modern history.
Okay, I got to stop it there. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, I do, because as we are really unpacking these issues, what we have seen with this planned scamdemic, which is the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, we realize that people's economic well-being, they really vote with their economic well-being. And this economy was humming along. We were almost at what you might call zero unemployment, full employment. And the GDP was growing, and so it's like, what, you know, what could be done? Well, we have the scamdemic that came out, and you saw, you know, these Democrat governors, Democrat legislators, Democrat representatives, senators, that they have closed down the economy. They're trying to lay this at the feet of Donald Trump, when in essence it has been these policies of these blue state governors that have in these blue city mayors, where they've shut down their cities, they've shut down the economy. And my friends, you need to look at this. You realize they don't give a flying rip about working families. They say it, but they don't really. What, any comments for you, Steve, on that?
No, I think I've already spent myself in the lead up to that.
Okay.
Again, it's just totally farcical. If right up to February of this year, that last comment about the economy, I mean, geez, Joe, what are you smoking?
I know.
Okay, here's Kamala Harris.
We're reeling from the worst public health crisis in a century. The president's mismanagement of the pandemic has plunged us into the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. And we're experiencing a moral reckoning with racism and systemic injustice that has brought a new coalition of conscience to the streets of our country, demanding change.
Coalition of conscience. So I don't remind, I guess she's referring to Black Lives Matter and Antifa. But I would love to remind her when those two entities rose up out of the pit.
Well, and let's address something, because what is resonating with a lot of young people, which we saw, you know, typically the protesters have been young Caucasian, you know, teenagers and 20-somethings. And the fact that people do care that other people's lives matter, you know, that is noble. And that is actually in the American idea. You know, I remember, what about all the soldiers, World War II? Let's think about, I'm going to interview a vet later today that was at Okinawa. I didn't realize this. Okinawa was a bigger naval operation, or bigger operation than actually Normandy. I did not know that. Did you know that, Steve?
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But anyway, so we talk about other people's lives that matter. Think about all of the American soldiers throughout the history of America, from the Patriots at Bunker Hill that put their lives on the line for freedom. Let's think about the Civil War, the Battle of Gettysburg, all of those battles, to come to the answer of whether or not we would have slavery or not. I mean, what a noble cause. Slavery had been prevalent throughout the world forever. And there, it still is prevalent in some parts of the world. And so think about that, you know, that cared about other people's lives. So that is a noble thing. Then what happened is in swoops Antifa, these Marxists that have then taken that narrative. And I remind you that if you go to Black Lives Matter and you click on donate, they don't even make any bones about it. The clearinghouse for that is Act Blue, which is the big Democrat fundraiser. And you can go through and see where they've given their money. They gave, I think, about $137 million to Bernie 2020. They gave, I think it was $117 million. And this was, I checked it, oh gosh, this probably was 3 weeks ago. I think $117 million to Biden. And so this has been co-opted, and we need to have a conversation with these young people so that they understand it. But you know, understand that there's kind of these two different narratives, and the Marxist left has you know, tried to blend that. Is there another soundbite you want to try to get through?
Well, I'll try to make this one really brief. Again, okay. This is Harris speaking.
America is crying out for leadership. Yet we have a president who cares more about himself than the people who elected him. A president who is making every challenge we face even more difficult to solve. But here's the good news. We don't have to accept the failed government of Donald Trump and Mike Pence. In just 83 days, we have a chance to choose a better future.
Yada, yada. She goes on and on, but
the one thing I
failed government.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much we could talk about. But she said he cares more about himself. That is a narrative that they really are trying to play. But did you hear the next thing she said? She said, and the people who elected him. Hey, Steve, who elected him? The American people elected him. So, and I do make the case, I think Donald Trump cares deeply about the American people, everybody. And so that was a little bit of a gaffe on her part.
Well, it's almost right up there with Hillary calling us deplorable. And I've got the shirt. I am a deplorable.
Oh, you know what? Let's go to break because we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio here in just a moment. Before we do that, tomorrow is the last day at Hooters Restaurants for their in-store fundraiser for Sacred Heart House of Denver. It's a local charity. And Sacred Heart House helps prevent single women and single moms and their children from homelessness. And it ends tomorrow. Guests will be able to donate at any of the five Hooters locations, and those are Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And you can either round up your bill, and you'll get a complimentary appetizer. I guess it's a free fried pickle appetizer. Or you can donate $15 and get your name up on the wall. That's what Patty and I did. We were over there last week. And, of course, now we kind of have sports, so you can watch all the sports there at Hooters restaurants as well. So for more information, go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com, and we'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And we'd appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. She's a radiologist. She's in the business of helping save women's lives in her work with breast cancer. She's also a healthcare expert. She was one of the few people in America that read the PPACA, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. I tried to get that out. And also known as Obamacare. And she really understands policy. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
And we will be recording a podcast that will be rolled out in this week's newsletter as well. There is so much to talk about. First thing, we did a podcast. You have come up with a 10-point plan to fix healthcare. And it's an excellent podcast. You explain how we got where we are and how to fix it. I don't know anybody else that has come out with this plan, a plan like this. It is something that is doable. Why don't we just hit on that just very quickly on that, Jill, because people can go listen to the podcast.
Yeah, you know, and actually the podcast is very thorough. I'll just fly through the 10 because there's some really interesting stuff that I'm finding out on this Moderna company with the vaccines.
Okay.
That our podcast today will go over, but it's fascinating stuff that people are going to want to know. It's kind of scary to me as a physician, scientist, somebody who understands the process of, you know, developing drugs and stuff a bit. Simple solutions for healthcare. Number one, post prices. Price transparency is absolutely mandatory. Stop playing the games with these charges that are ridiculously high versus what's actually reimbursed, which is usually between 10 and 30% of that big number of the charge that you see, right?
Right.
That's absolutely critical. Number two, minimize the number of coverages that every insurance policy has to have. Allow people choices in what kind of coverages they have. Number three, use real insurance. Right now we have prepaid health care. Let's have real insurance, kind of like our car insurance, where your insurance is meant to cover big ticket items and catastrophic disease and illnesses.
Okay.
Number four, expand the use of health savings accounts. Use it like a mark, a 401k. You should be able to pass it on to your heirs, donate it to a charity. Charities should be able to have health savings accounts. All money that can only be used for medical expenses to help other people or, you know, for your own expenses. Number five, separate insurance from the workplace. That will take care of 95% of the issue of pre-existing conditions. So you get to own your own policy. You can change companies, but you take your policy with you wherever you go.
Okay.
Number six, post prices. Number seven, allow flexibility in risk pools so that people can so that fewer people have to rely on an individual policy. Group policies already cover pre-existing conditions. You can spread the risk among a larger group of people, so allow people flexibility in forming these risk pools or group policies. The more policies that could be self-insuring, the better.
Okay.
Number 8, pharmaceutical reform, and Trump is working on that. No, but they're the most powerful lobbying group in the country, the pharmaceutical industry. Number 9, tort reform. You got to get rid of. You got to have some coverages. People need to get relief for mistakes that were made and harm that was done to them. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is frivolous lawsuits are rampant and they need to go away. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we need to get a handle on those. So the defensive medicine, which can cost up to 25% of overall health care costs, can be under can be controlled better. Number 10, post prices. So that's it.
You know what? I think we need to let Trump know about this, because I was talking to a young mom, and she said, "My gosh, our premiums are so high for our family. Our deductibles are so high." She said, "You know, something needs to be done about that." And I just have not heard any clear plan like what you have come up with. So I think we need to reach out to President Trump on this, Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Yeah, give him a call. As soon as we're off, give him a call.
I'll do that. So. Next place you want to go, is there anything on testing that you need to update us on this week?
You know, I wanted to focus the testing. You know, it's the same as they're still combining the numbers of antibody tests with acute viral tests, which is just beyond me that nobody's talking about this. It's easy to understand. People understand the difference between an antibody test that shows you have immunity and a test that shows you have an acute viral illness. So there's totally different situation. The idea that we're combining these two is completely counterproductive unless you're doing it for a political purpose. Now, that being said, the more I'm finding out about the vaccine development with this Moderna that's based mm-hmm. in Cambridge, Massachusetts, but the CEO is a French gentleman who's a complete, like, a pharmaceutical sales guy. So the more I'm learning about Moderna, this company, the scarier it is, because they are set up, and it's Moderna, so it is, as in mRNA, which is the COVID virus is an mRNA virus as opposed to a DNA virus. mRNA vaccines have typically had very dangerous side effects and haven't worked. A real mRNA vaccine hasn't really been developed that's really effective without side effects, and that typically doesn't have coronavirus vaccines. They've been working on coronavirus vaccines forever. The lab in Wuhan was working on coronavirus vaccine as well. That's kind of how this may have been released, is that they say, well, we were working with this coronavirus at this lab so that we could develop a vaccine for it should this pandemic, a pandemic ever arise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So slow, right?
Right.
So this company is fairly new from 2000, started 2010. Really, you look at their business activity, the only thing that they've done some pre-human, like a non-human testing, animal testing, mice and primates, on some mRNA vaccines. Their approach is very different from a typical vaccine, but they haven't really come out with anything that has been truly successful in human trials. This is their first shot at it.
Wow. Them in black.
And we're going to give it to 100 million. Trump ordered 100 million doses. Canada's ordering their vaccine from this Moderna.
Wow.
I mean, we're going to be giving potentially hundreds of millions of people, at least around the world, a vaccine that has their approach to this vaccine is totally different than a typical vaccine.
Okay, well, let's have that as a teaser for, we'll be recording a podcast with more in-depth conversations on this this morning, and that will be rolled out this weekend in the newsletter. So be sure and sign up for our newsletter at kimmunson.com. Jill, the amount of research that you do, I mean, it is really, it's really important. It's really a gift to everyday hardworking people, what you have done regarding, you know, reading the PPACA and as well as this. So it's great to have you on the show, and really encourage people to tune into our podcast that will be in this week's newsletter.
I think everybody absolutely needs to listen to this podcast and pass it on. I'm still doing research on it, but I tell you what I'm finding out is frightening.
Okay. Dr. Jill Vecchio, we will talk to you in a little while.
Thanks.
Have a great day. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Happy Thursday.
Yes, very happy. It's almost Friday.
It's almost Friday. Steve likes that.
Yeah.
You and I had a conversation yesterday. I had John Caldera on, and I was trying to get my brain around. He's made the case that actually the Trump tax cuts created more revenue in the state of Colorado the way that it worked. And apparently, I still sounded confused. So you decided to put a pencil to it and explain it to me. So let's jump in here, Jason McBride.
All right. Well, keep in mind, I did send you a couple of dummy tax returns to make the numbers clear. But I think that for most people, what it is, it's the way that the exemptions for yourself, the exemptions for your spouse, and exemptions for your kids used to work, Kim. For example, under the old rules, you had your adjusted gross income, which was your income, minus deductions for like IRAs, health savings accounts. And then you subtracted out your standard deduction, and then you also subtracted out your exemptions. So, for example, a person that had, let's say, $148,000 of AGI under the old rules, they took their standard deduction, which was $12,700, let's say. That leaves them at $135,300. But then if they had themselves, their spouse, and three children, Kim, for exemptions, each one of those exemptions allowed you to take another $4,050 off of your income. So you subtract another $20,250, and you ended up with taxable income of $115,050.
Okay.
And then that number carried over to your Colorado return, and that was where you started your Colorado return from.
Got it.
Okay. Under the new rules, here's how it works. You don't get those exemptions for yourself and your spouse anymore, and you don't get those exemptions for your kids. It works a little bit differently. So that same couple that, made the same income and their adjusted gross income was $148,000, well, they now get to just take a standard deduction that is much higher. Remember, mm-hmm. before it was $12,700?
Right.
Well, now it's $24,400. And then, boom, that's your taxable income, which is $123,600. That's the number that carries over to your Colorado return. So under the old rules, you would have paid Colorado tax of approximately $5,300. Under the new rules, you pay Colorado tax of about $5,700. Now, but that's not Colorado's fault. They didn't do anything to cause you to pay more taxes. It's the way the federal taxes work that, that caused that, quote, problem.
Well, and I think Caldera's point is that, in fact, Colorado, to keep everything static, that they should have actually lowered our Colorado taxes as well. And so that is why the Independence Institute and Caldera have on the ballot a reduction in income taxes. And the other thing, just to make a point on it, so it's actually pretty significant. It's about $400 more that you would pay between the two different years in Colorado, but you pay significantly less. This is just a middle-class couple. You pay significantly less in federal income tax. So when they say that it was just a tax cut for the rich, that was not the case.
No, that's right. That same exact situation. Under the old rules, Kim, the federal tax would have been about $20,000. Under the new rules, it's $13,000. So that's a significant reduction in your federal tax. And, yeah, and we pay a little bit more Colorado. And, sure, I think it would be nice if Colorado did something to account for that. But I'm not surprised they didn't just jump out and lead the way, of course.
Of course. Of course. So now, Jason, I know we're trying to get this up on the landing page that we have together, airpresidential.com, and it's not there yet. So I will talk to Zach and we'll try to get that on there so that people can see that, because it's really excellent work that you've done on that. So if you want more information on any of these kinds of things, Jason and his colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management, you know, clearly the care that they put into just looking for the facts on these things, I really appreciate. So Jason McBride, phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Natalie will be answering those starting at 7:30. So have a great day.
You have a great show. Thank you, Kim.
And thanks for the great work on that. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dennis Gallagher. He is a former Colorado State Senator. He is a co-author of the Gallagher Amendment. It was put in place to try to keep our residential property taxes in check. It has done that. It's going to be on the ballot this year to repeal it. And we want to get Dennis Gallagher's thoughts on that. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter and go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Dennis Gallagher. He is a former Colorado State Senator. He served on Denver City Council and was also the auditor of Denver. And he was a co-author of the Gallagher Amendment, which was put in place by the people of Colorado into the Colorado Constitution. And the goal was to keep residential property taxes in check. Kind of the intersection of what happened with the Gallagher Amendment and then the Tabor Amendment, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, was passed a few years later. And what has happened is property taxes have come down on residential property, but yet the taxes have gone up on commercial property, and it's squeezing many of our small businesses. And so, Dennis Gallagher, welcome to the show.
Well, Kim, it's a joy to be with you, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, people like lower taxes, and give our listeners a little history on how we got to the Gallagher Amendment.
Sure. Well, back in 1982, Kim, what was happening, there was a property tax revolution ready to burst right on Colorado, similar to what was going on in California. You remember how the taxpayers of California finally revolted, and we ended up with the Jarvis Amendment, which was just terrible, which limited, I think, property taxes to 1%. But the Gallagher Amendment was voted by the people in 1982, and I know that's a long time ago, but it's been working. And what it does, it keeps the residential rate at 45% of the total property tax buy. And then the business rate is 55% at a little higher rate that's charged for them, because that's what that's what business agreed to back in 1982. But now, you're right, the residential assessment rate on homes and apartments have been going down, and a lot of the essential business, services like fire protection districts, library districts, hospital districts, they've been having a hard time convincing voters to raise their home taxes, even though the Gallagher Amendment keeps home taxes somewhat manageable. But what the legislature has put on the ballot, Kim, is a little deceitful and dissembling. And, you know, don't you think does it upset you, does it make you angry when you see a ballot proposal on the ballot that would have the potentiality for raising taxes and not tell the voters that if you vote for this, your property taxes might go up? And we do not see that in the language of the Blue Book so far, which I've been working with them to make sure they at least tell the truth to the voters that this, if you vote for this, and we're not quite sure even what they're going to call it yet, it could change. I think it's Amendment B or just repeal Gallagher. But that should be in there. And then you're supposed to only have one title one subject under a ballot proposal. And this also repeals the 29% assessment rate for business, which is not part of Gallagher. So we got not only repeal Gallagher, but they're also repealing the business rate on property taxes. So, Kim, I think they're a little dissembling, and if this by chance wins, I'm tempted to take this to court and say it should be thrown out because they were not completely open and honest and transparent with the people. And so that's just a little background there on it, and I hope that helps answer that question for you.
Well, it really does. And, you know, Dennis Gallagher, when you start at the number one thing with deceit, just vote no on it right there. You know, you got to be honest with me. You've got to be honest with the voters. And if you have to be deceitful to get something passed, then...
It's true. It's just you can see why all these conspiracy theories about deep government are taking hold, because the legislature was dissembling when it does not allow the information that this may raise taxes. You got to take the risk and be honest with the voters. I know you remember that wonderful quote by Thomas Jefferson, who said, "No nation can be ignorant and free. That's something that never has been nor never will be in all the world." You've got to educate the voters in America to whereby they can make a good decision. And I used to teach speech at Regis University for years, and I always used to tell my students, a lack of information equals uncertainty. Remember that wonderful ad where the young fellow is on the phone and he's talking to his girlfriend, and all of a sudden the phone goes out. And he thinks, oh my God, she hung up on me. When in actuality, it was a default with the electronic service that he had. But he thought she'd hung up on him. So lack of information equals uncertainty. And we've got a lot of lack of information going on at this time. And I think there's no political slogan that says, in politics, timing is everything. And, I mean, 11,000 people in Jefferson County, Kim, had trouble paying their property taxes. This is not a time to raise property taxes for their average middle-class working Joe Stiff who's trying, and Jane who's trying to just make it day-to-day and week-to-week. Unemployment is rising. There's 30% of Coloradans are unemployed and applying for more unemployment insurance. This plague that's affecting us nationally. Mortgage defaults are rising, rent defaults are rising, and so this is just not a time to change the Gallagher Amendment. There was plenty of other options that they could have done, but they tried to repeal Tabor last time, and that didn't work. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And so now they thought, well, we'll go after the easier target. We'll go after Gallagher because nobody cares much if homeowners pay more so business can pay less. And I do know that business was experiencing a bit of an increase there, but business properties have been rising in interest. And did you see even the latest ad of Governor Hickenlooper says that Colorado was down to number 40, and he brought them up to number one on job creation. If the Gallagher Amendment was so bad, I don't think he'd have been able to do that. So they're talking out of both sides of their mouth here. And
well,
so just that's a few thoughts I wanted to. I'm so glad and so kind of you to let me share these thoughts with the voters. And my grandpa came from County Sligo in Ireland. And that's where William Butler Yeats, the famous poet, the famous Irish poet, is buried. And on his tombstone, Kim, and I've seen it several times, it says, "Under Barebin Bulbin's head in Drumcliff churchyard, Yeats is laid. Cast a cold eye on life, on death. Horsemen pass by." And I hope the voters will cast a cold eye on this proposal that the legislature wants them to vote for to repeal Gallagher and let them start with something. We don't want to turn into a New Jersey where your property taxes become like a second house payment. I've got cousins in New Jersey, and it's torture to live there. And then what they do with the money, you wonder half the time what they do with it. So I can see where these conspiracy theories come forward. I hope the people will vote no on this, and they can email me at lowercase dgallag 954 at aol.com.
Okay, so Dennis Gallagher, let's go to break, and when we come back, I want to ask you some questions about the narratives that they have out there. I think that, you know, small businesses really are getting squeezed, and
yeah.
It seems like it's the small,
no, it's true.
You know, the small businessman has gotten squeezed through this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. It seems like the small business guy gets squeezed, you know, everywhere. And so they make the case that, oh, we want to help small businesses, but yet it's been policies that's just been so difficult for them. And then the other thing, my understanding is that those that are trying to repeal the Gallagher Amendment, they are bringing the fire districts on board. And, you know,
people, oh, yeah.
And so I'd like to talk about those two things. So we're going to go to break. I'm talking with Dennis Gallagher. He is the co-author of the Gallagher Amendment. It has saved, let's see, I think the Colorado Sun said it has saved homeowners $35 billion since it was put in place. I mean, that's pretty significant. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knives is one of my new partners, and they have quite a store. I'd recommend that you go out there. They have things for collectors. They have utility knives. They have kitchen knives, steak knife sets, great wedding presents. And so be sure and check them out. They're out in Sedalia, Colorado, and they're not the average knife shop. They carry all kinds of knives, custom knives from local Colorado makers and other top blades from around the world. Be sure and check out castlegate.com, and I would recommend that you take a trip out there. It is a great store. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all the things we'll be doing the next week. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Dennis Gallagher. He is the co-author of the Gallagher Amendment. It was passed back in 1982 by the people of Colorado, put into the Constitution to keep our property taxes in check. And per the Colorado Sun, since that was passed, it has saved Colorado homeowners. That is $35 billion. Producer Steve asked me, he said, is that a billion or a million? I said, it was $35 billion that has saved Colorado homeowners. That is significant, Dennis Gallagher.
Well, you know, Kim, that's why homeowners have oftentimes been more than willing to vote an increase in their property taxes, because the Gallagher Amendment has kept property taxes manageable in Colorado. And I'm sorry that a lot of these fire protection districts and these hospital districts and various other special districts have had a hard time convincing their local property taxpayers to increase their taxes. But as you know, the homeowners are struggling too, especially if they're unemployed. And then you see more and more that unemployment is rising and people are having a hard time making their property taxes or their home payment. We're going to see a lot more homeless, I'm afraid, out there. But the Gallagher, one of the better effects of the Gallagher Amendment has been to enable voters to vote for increases in property taxes on their homes so that these little fire protection districts can, you know, have enough money to put out fires when people call the service. And also, with the economy doing so well in Colorado, everybody complains and says, oh, that damn Gallagher Amendment, it's wrecking everything, and yet we were rolling in dough. Denver had plenty of dough before the coronavirus took hold. A couple of council members were even talking about giving a small break, a homestead exemption to small business in Denver so that they could stay in Denver and have jobs for Denver by keeping their property taxes somewhat manageable through a homestead exemption. And I have a little business in my neighborhood here that I've used on occasion for special books. It's called Denver Bookbinding. It's a four-generation homeowner Denver home-based company, and they do wonderful work. And Gail Lindley, who owns the company, actually had a conference of local Denver business people to see if it wouldn't be possible to have a homestead exemption to allow businesses, especially little small businesses, to have a little break from the city, like they do for senior citizens, you know. And so it's interesting that there were several other options. They could have delayed the enactment of the residential assessment rate, but they decided not to go with that. And I know that oil and gas is down, but they're going to make a comeback. And
the reason you say that is because oil and gas has contributed significant revenues to the state of Colorado.
Yeah, it really has. And so the key is that, number one, they could have passed a little homestead exemption, but then the coronavirus came in and spoiled everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was off the table. And yet there's still, you look at all, even I was listening earlier on your program, I think it was reported that marijuana, revenues, the tax revenues are up because everybody's home, and I guess they don't have enough to do. They are not working. They're just buying some marijuana. So I got to tell you, it's very interesting, and there were several other options. And I'm sorry these little fire protection districts weren't able to convince their homeowners to raise their taxes. And that'll come down to haunt them maybe when they call and get put on hold for a fire, or at least one of some of the rural areas. And some of the parts of Colorado would never vote for a tax increase if their lives depended upon it. You know, that's how some people are. And
but they should have the freedom to vote like that, you know,
right.
And then they'll have the consequences of their decisions.
And again, you just be honest with the people. You don't dissemble and say, oh, this is going to be a win-win for everybody. That's not the case. And you can be sure that if this passes, though, there will be, it's like King George III sent hither swarms of officers to eat us out of our store. And that's exactly what the lobbyists will be doing at the legislature, which I was there a lot. There was no lobbyists for homeowners.
Right.
There was only lobbyists for the big business.
Right.
And they'll be down there getting their cut of the tax breaks, which there's hundreds of tax breaks for business. And the only tax breaks that the homeowners have is the Gallagher Amendment. And I hope people will cast a cold eye on this attempt to make them pay more taxes so even the big businesses will pay less.
Well, and Dennis Gallagher, tell our listeners that you're a Democrat. You're not a Republican, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a Democrat. It's not the same party that Harry Truman and I joined.
Right.
Or John Kennedy.
That's what I say.
Was my inspiration. Kennedy was my first vote. And I'll never forget when I came home and Kennedy won, and I asked my grandmother, my mother's mother, who was born in County Cork, a different county than my grandfather, Gallagher, and she said, well, isn't it wonderful, Dennis, that John Kennedy just took down the No Irish Catholic Need Apply sign on the White House. I agreed with her 100%. And he was my inspiration, he and Robert Kennedy. I think they'd have figured out a way to get us out of Vietnam and try to bring peace to the world and try to bring peace to with the Russians. And so anyway.
Kennedy, he also lowered taxes.
He did. And I think that was when he was trying to help his father out, who was a big business guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny, I had to go to Ireland to find out that my Irish cousins in Massachusetts used to go help pour tea for Mrs. Kennedy when she'd have the parties up there at Hyannis. I had to go to Ireland to find out because all the American cousins thought, oh, they're all just nothing but a bunch of crooks anyway. So I never did find out that we had some connections with the Kennedys. So that is the thing. We can be doing so much better. And when I became auditor too, Kim, it was clear to me how there's a lot of waste in the tax dollars, how they just sort of waste tax dollars and could be used for the homeless in various other ways and so much better ways. So I've had quite a little run. I was in office for 44 years, and so here I am still trying to educate people on the issues and trying to make sure that somebody is there speaking up for the homeowners and the renters. This is going to affect renters too, Kim, because they're going to turn all apartment units into a business, which will mean that it'll have to pay a higher rate, I think. But again, that's something they didn't even discuss in the amendment. We're still negotiating on what's going to be in the blue book. You know, they send out the blue book to try to explain, but you try to make sure that it's honest. And I just hope that the blue book will tell the truth about what this ballot proposal has to say. So again, let me give my email.
Okay.
Lowercase d and then gallag 954 at aol.com and email me anytime and I'll answer any questions people might have. And I'm not alone on this. We've got Dickie Lee Hullinghorse, former Democratic Speaker of the House, Ron Stewart, former Democratic senator from Longmont, who's the co-author of the Gallagher Amendment, Jana Mendez, former Democratic state senator from Boulder. We've got several other people working on this, and there were several Republicans who voted not to repeal the Gallagher, and yet I'm so interested to tell you that every Democrat voted to repeal Gallagher. So what do you think about that?
Well, to your point, this Democrat Party currently is not the party of JFK or Harry Truman, as you mentioned. So we have 1 minute left, Dennis Gallagher. What is the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Just the final thought is I hope everybody will study this. You've got to pay attention. Study this amendment to repeal Gallagher. And I'm in the phone book. Give me a call. I'll answer any questions that I can about it. And we're going to get a website up. It'll be called, what is it called here? Let's see, just a quick second. Save Our Homes Colorado, I think is the name of it.
Okay.
Let's see here. Well, they'll be in a Save the Gallagher Amendment, and just type that in. And
okay.
That'll be able to get it. So, again, thank you so much, Kim, for all your good work of educating the voters. This is a very important election. We can't let this one slip by.
Well, Dennis Gallagher, thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too, now. Bye-bye. Good luck.
Okay, thank you. And our quote today is from Francis Bacon. He said, there are two ways of spreading light, to be the candle or the mirror that reflects it. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry.